When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't put deodorant on funk.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we are back. And fully whole, Clint Sterner back in the building, Tyler Milner there. If you're on YouTube and Twitch, hello. And if you are wanting to get into the text line, 713-572-4610, you can jump in with us. A lot going on, a lot to get to here today. As I said, I want to get to Davis Mills. It's great, and I see some people jumping in. Someone texted in, Davis Mills, great, a solid C, but for the QB... For the QB run for the touchdown, he would have, if it wasn't for the QB run for the touchdown, he would have scored a D closer to an F. He wasn't that great. Remember the drop on two-point conversion.
D-Mills gets so it done!
I don't know how you arrived at D or an F. But since some other people giving their thoughts in what the grade is, someone said a B, someone said a B+. Before we get... and discuss this one amongst ourselves. Here is D'Amico Ryans yesterday on the coach's show talking about his backup quarterback and the mentality that you got to have, that you know about, Clint, that you got to have coming into the game.
I mean, backup quarterback, you're a coach. Like, really, you are a coach that can possibly get in. We don't want the coach getting in. The backup quarterback, you talk about preparation, like how much you have to be on it because, you know, you're not getting those reps in practice. You want the starting quarterback to get all the reps to make sure everything's in sync. And so you're over, you're doing scout team reps, you're trying to make those work, make them as realistic as possible. But to actually go through the huddle calls, the cadence, commands, changing protections at the line of scrimmage, it's a lot. As a backup quarterback, you don't get the reps in the week and then you're thrust into a game and you're expected to go do a great job. Well, I think that's where Dave has truly benefited from having the week of preparation. And that's what I kind of talked about last week. Him having a full week of preparation allowed him to be in a position, right, to go and play a good game for us.
All right, and he did play a good game. As we said, his numbers, 27 of 45, 292, two touchdowns, one pick, three carries, 20 yards, and the game-winning touchdown run that he got in. So three total touchdowns, one turnover, Clint. Someone said, give that texter a D. All right, there you go. Your thoughts. What was your grade for Davis Mills?
I got an A for Davis Mills. And I do take what D'Amico Ryans just said into consideration. But here's the negatives and the positives, right? I think he overall played a really good football game. But where did he stumble and where did he really, really shine? The interception, I got to knock you for that. All right, the missed touchdowns, whether it was a read or a throw, I got to knock you for that, right? Even if you're a backup, I've got to knock you for those two things. Outside of that, he was absolutely tremendous. And now I move down the stretch in the fourth quarter. You know, that regardless of how we got where we were, the hole that we dug, he had this been the starting quarterback, had this been C.J. Stroud, it would have been one of those moments where C.J. Stroud put the team on his back and carried him to victory. And so I've got to look at it like that with it being Davis.
I was going to say, that's what Davis did.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So Davis put the team on his back in the most critical moments and scored a ton of points in the fourth quarter and had a huge moment. So that's a huge plus. And then to the texter's point, I think in a got-to-have-it situation, obviously late, everything's breaking down, penalties are happening, and you overcome that by tucking the ball and running for a touchdown, which is not your forte whatsoever. And so, look, I think there was some big-time throws. There was some serious restraint. There was some unbelievable poise. There was a crazy amount of clutch in the fourth quarter. And I grade all of that significantly higher than I do a quarterback coming out, having not played, started a game in 2 years, 3 years, whatever long it's been, and struggling early. So I would go with a solid A, is how all that stuff balances out for me, as a solid A for Davis Mills.
Yeah, I see here on Joel Hernandez on Twitch, A plus for him. I would say an A as well. And I think for me, to go along with everything you said, and I spoke about this yesterday. I was so impressed in the interception, that it's not even that big of a ding to me. I was so impressed because I think many people were affected, but nobody was affected more than Davis Mills with, to me, his coaching staff not putting him in the best possible situation to succeed to start the game.
Yeah.
And for him to withstand that and overcome all of that, they seem to be, we talked about it yesterday, just, you know, flipping coins on who was going to play, who wasn't going to play. They said to him, man, team that kind of struggles with stunts, or does stunts and stuff, we're just going to put three guys in who haven't played all season, let alone played with each other on the field across the offensive line. So to me, I thought it was impressive. And he had to, and I had to eat some words a little bit, because I said, like, one of the big differences, he drops back there. C.J. Stroud's more likely to just make some plays than he would. And he made a couple of – just made some plays. The run, obviously, to take the lead. But that touchdown you were talking about in the first hour to Dalton Schultz, that was him creating time in the pocket, create, and then making a throw in the only place that he could get it to make a play on a third and three when they had to have it. And so I thought he was really – really, really strong.
Oh, I mean, look, on a backup quarterback scale, it's an A++++, right? But I mean, if we're grading the quarterback for the Houston Texans on that day the same way that I would grade the starter, that's an A. It's just, you know, there's a handful of, like, the interception, right? I agree with you. I don't ding him. It happens. They jumped a route like that. You don't ever expect a defense to jump the route. But when you're grading them, you look at the interception, and then you also see, whew, that would have been a monster play and explosive on the first drive of the game if you'd have read it out instead of just forcing it, right? It, you know, the misses to Nico Collins, boy, those would have been touchdowns. They're not just misses. Those are touchdowns, right? So those were painful early on, but, man, he was so, so good down the stretch that, you know, that's – I don't know how you get anywhere other than an A. You can go A-, you go A+, I fall in the middle, but, boy, you get C's and D's. I don't know what the hell y'all watching.
And you know and you know better than anybody. I mean, like, when you hadn't – when's the last time he's really just, like, going in live, read – like, before the Broncos game, going in and just read defenses, looked full speed, this thing going. I mean – I could see him early saying, all right, man, here we go. Him and Nick Cayley, let's just easy throws, bam, on time. Let's get the ball out of our hand. Let's get it quick. And they jumped her out. But then that was thrown out the window. He had to make plays. He had to make plays later. Text line coming in. Black Greg, he was running 19 and a half miles per hour. Got to give him an A. somebody said that slant he ripped to Higgins on that touchdown. I think he would have passed and tried to throw the ball there for that. Mills gets a B+. He was really, really good.
Well, the interesting thing, and I think the beauty of this game, and not just from a Mills perspective, but across the board, when you look at the run game, it was about both running backs. It was about scheme. It was about O-line. It was about making plays without a lot of help. It was about having a lot of help. It was all those things combined. When you look at the pass game, and you look at Davis Mills, yeah, he ripped the bang eight in there to Higgins. I would imagine that was his first read, right? Then you come back, and there is the backline throw to Dalton Schultz, where he's getting all the way through a progression with great protection for a touchdown. You look at the Woody Marks touchdown. They're faking the inside, you know, the crack flip play to Woody Marks, and he outruns him to the pylon. You look through the 2-point play, like the third
down backed up that he got to Schultz.
Oh man, that was beauty. That was a thing of beauty.
Another big one there.
Yes, absolutely. Those are the beautiful thing about it is it wasn't just about the offensive coordinator having a great plan and boy schemed a bunch of stuff wide ass open for the quarterback. It wasn't just about the defense stinks. Everybody's hurt. They're getting pushed around. They don't have guys that can cover. They don't even have guys that can cover. What's LeSeventeen's name? Damn, my mind just went blank.
For the Texans. 17.
A little shaky, little bitty fellow that's got the girl, celebrity girlfriend.
Braxton Berrios.
Braxton Berrios, yeah. They don't even have anybody that could cover him, much less Nico Collins. No, that wasn't the case this week. This was a group that it was, sure, there were moments where they couldn't cover folks, but there were also moments where you had to make big boy throws, you had to throw in tight windows. There was a little bit of everything when it went into what ultimately ended in a win, and that's, to me, that's what makes it so impressive.
I'll be honest, man, he was impressive, and like I said, man, I think he had to overcome his coaching staff, because Clint, I can't get over it, and we talked about it yesterday. 062. I cannot get over that decision. I am so blown away. Like I know they won the game. Tyler, I'm obsessed to know who came up with that. I am upset. I want Pablo Torre to get
to do a little
to
do
go
little.
And Torre find inspe- out. I've got to, because that to me was as bad as when that tight end coach ran up there and said Jeff Driscoll was a one of a kind athlete and compared him to Lamar Jackson and said there are people in the building thought. Like, what in the hell in this situation? I still can't get over and believe they did that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's the same person that is going to try to stand up there and tell you time and time again that rotating left guards is the best Texans offensive product that you're going to see.
You guys, good?
You know, it's the same person that'll get up there and tell you that Dari Agumbawale is the best third down back on this team and brings the most to the table on third down.
Beyond that, man.
That's the line of thinking. Ron, that's the line of thinking is like we're smarter than everybody in a room, and instead of just doing what makes sense, we're going to go a complete opposite direction. Like, I can understand the Jarrett Patterson part of it.
Seen him play football
from the beginning. The Jarrett Patterson thing was only odd because the City Sal thing was real. It was only odd because you had seen a rotating left guard that didn't include Jarrett Patterson.
Yeah, just assumed it was just going to be Tomlinson and Scruggs need your guard.
But even if it was Jarrett Patterson and Scruggs or Jarrett Patterson and Lakin Thomas, even if it were that, and you could say, hey, well, those guys have been working on the left side and this guy's been working on the right side, and it kind of just we've seen him play football and it's not ideal, but we're going to give it a shot because Ingram's hurt. The reality of it is that it's plumb silly, and the fact that you gave up on it two series into the game tells you that even y'all know how silly it was, right? And so, yeah, I don't, you know, I think that is a that is something that's got to be fixed with this football team. Now, it shouldn't surprise anybody that he was drafted by the New England Patriots in the Bill Belichick days. And in his team picture or his bio picture, he's got stripes on his shoulders and a dark blue uniform on, which is New England Patriots. And so it shouldn't surprise anybody that Nick Caserio and Cole Popovich and Nick Caley thought that they were going to bring a guy in here that they thought highly of 2 or 3 years ago, and we just going to pull him up off the P squad and we're going to plug him in here, and he's going to be our starting guard. He's going to be the answer and do what we want him to do. Like it's just
I'm glad somebody said when we got to pull the plug on it. I'm glad they didn't just keep rolling and try to make.
But to me, Ron, that's what
I'm not giving any credit for it. I'm just glad they didn't just keep rolling with it.
But when you pull the plug on it so early,
oh, you know it's
and pulling the plug is putting one of the options that you had from jump that's been playing all year long in that position and then finishing the game strong with him the rest of the game. It's not the moves in a vacuum, guys. It is, for me, it is the one move completely contradicts the previous move that you've been trying to sell to us. Right? The only thing that makes sense is if Ocity Sal gets in there and he balls the hell out and you're like, boy, y'all had him hidden on the P squad for a long. That was a hell of a move. So, now, he doesn't play well, which you don't play. By the way, you don't play, take it from a career practice squad guy. You don't play practice squad players. Never, ever, ever do you play practice squad players by decision because you want to.
They did.
You play practice squad players because you have no other choice.
It's my decision.
Yeah. Right? You don't. I mean, that is. It's wild to think that. But it's not in this organization. That is. I mean, it happens 4 or 5 times a year. It don't matter if D'Amico's a head coach or if David Culley's a head coach. There's decisions like that are like, what? How did you get there?
I still can't. Oh my God! I'm glad they won the game. I just can't. Got
to
have it.
Well, that's enough of a head scratcher. That's enough of a head scratcher, Ron. Where even on the day or the day after, we're in the studio after a monster win. You got to talk about it. If you're not talking about that right there, then you're protecting somebody.
You're protecting something. And we've seen a lot. You wonder what's the next move coming down the pike. Like what's the next?
Hey, hold your breath. There'll be
what's
one.
The next interesting. That was wild. All right, a little real or fake. We make a statement. You let us know if it's real or fake. We'll do that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Before we get to real and fake, we got a horned up texter. I want to get it all.
Like where this is going.
I want you, sir, to make this make sense to you. 62 started because D'Amico was disciplining another starter. Come on, fellas. Followed by, did you guys not hear D'Amico's press conference Monday? He said as much right there. He took the start away from a starter. Good for D'Amico. Y'all sound silly. Listen to D'Amico on Monday to find out why 62 started. My bad. Why are you guys not picking up on that? That's exactly why 62 started. D'Amico took that start away from a starter as discipline. All right, let's play what D'Amico said when he was asked on why he started 62.
Yeah, for the offensive line, we'll continue to find, you know, what works for us and, you know, the best guys that we can put out there. We're going to try that. You know, and it's a culmination of a lot of things that you guys don't see from practice, from how we've seen guys work throughout the week, how they're doing. It's with the mental being where they're supposed to be doing the things that we asked them to do on a consistent basis. Like a lot of things go into play there. So still a lot of things that we can clean up, a lot of things just with our entire team, we can just be more consistent on doing the things that we're asked to do. And till we're going to keep moving guys around till we find the right group that's going to do it the right way, do what we're asking them to do every single time that they're out there.
Yeah. All right. If you got to go get 62, by the way, you jumped to a nice conclusion off of, hey, he was disciplining somebody. All right. Well, it couldn't have been Juice that much. Juice got in after 7 plays. If we want to go and jump to that conclusion, look, it's stupid as hell. Even if you're going to discipline, if that's the route you're going, it's stupid as hell the you gotta have a game. And I don't believe he was doing this as a discipline thing. I don't think he was making his team, as Clint said, suck and choose to do this in the gotta have a game to put 62 in. No, they felt like that was the best move possible for them. I think it was silly. I think they thought it was silly. And he immediately, if it was Drew Scruggs, that whole discipline thing went flying out of the window after he was getting his ass kicked repeatedly. By the way, I believe they could have gone in multiple directions before they arrived at 62 off the practice squad who's not played. Get out of here, man. You're trying to mentally get yourself to a position to make that make sense from him. It doesn't make sense. It don't make sense. There's nothing you can say. There were plenty of options before they arrived there to just go banging 62. That's what we're going to do. Game on the line here, man. Yeah, that's what we're going to do. Yeah. If that's the case, he should have cut whoever's ass it was. He's cut Gardner Johnson. He's cut people for less. He cut a corner once when he desperately needed a corner. Cut Shaq Griffin. Cut his ass. If it was Lakin Tomlinson, cut him. They would have cut him. They ain't getting nothing but $500,000.
Wow.
Get out of here. You're just trying to make that make sense. It does not make sense. And it did not make sense. They thought 62 gave him the best chance for some reason.
What do you think that reason was?
They saw something in practice. Thought, boy, I'm telling you.
Oh, man. He's one of them good New England soldiers.
Oh, yeah,
man.
I know
do
it.
What
yeah.
Do what he's told to do. Yeah, it just don't make sense, man. I mean, look,
it just don't make sense. You don't have to invent that he punish somebody.
Well, I mean, even if you want to make sense of that, like did both of those offensive linemen, Lakin Tomlinson and Juice Scruggs, deserve punishment? Did they step out?
They were all doing it.
Yeah,
they were all doing it.
Did the Denver game, which by the way, in the Denver game, that I told you that I thought they all played significant, like they all deserved a tip of the cap after the Denver game. I'm sure the coaches do their job and evaluate and find some negatives, but I mean as a whole. You know, the offensive line wasn't why you didn't win that Denver game. But, yeah, it is the latest of very, very head-scratching, to put it nicely, moves that this organization always finds a way to make.
Well, they said, all right, Juice, man, you good now.
Oh, my God. This don't make no sense.
It sucked from the get-go. You think they then ran him out there one more time, another series for – Or hey man, we're gonna teach you a lesson. Let's say that you're right, Texter. Let's say you're right, guys. We got a problem here. That's what we're doing here. We're banging out messages like this. We're sending messages that last seven plays. No, he sent a message. He sent a message that sent Gardner Johnson packing. His ass was gone. Yeah. That's when he sends messages. No, they just lost their whole mind. I mean, what do you think could have been to happen in practice for them to get to 62?
Which end was he looking from?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what happens in practice to get where you're rotating two left guards.
You're right.
Period. I don't know what happens in practice or what an opponent can offer that you don't make sure you feature 27 in the backfield, and then you go to the podium week after week and try to explain it like it's normal, like other teams do that, like, oh, it's the best product we can put on the field. Like all of that is I think it's head scratching to say the least. But these guys are always like I think it's head scratching to not go out and sign guards and centers and tackles and let those guys play those positions, but instead it's a constant effort of best five, literally best five. We'll rotate them around guard, center. So we don't matter. We play wherever, left, right, guard, center, tackle, guard, whatever. Like all of that stuff is an odd way of going about things. This just happens to be one of the more egregious.
Yeah. Our quarterback just got knocked out with a concussion.
Yeah.
Is missing this week.
Well,
and we're going to purposely put a much lesser player in a game we got to have. That move, if it wasn't for their comeback, there were just drives. There was multiple times. He just got beat so bad that it just destroyed a drive. That could have been the game.
Well, it just, to me, again, I don't, it's not that big a deal to me at this point, but the part that is a big deal is that the common sense thing to do, if you're going to rotate two guards and make sure they're both getting playing time and they're both staying fresh and they're both getting reps in the system, the common sense thing to do at that point is to have one of those guys on the field at the very least over a practice squad guy. Right? Now, if Jared Patterson had worked his way into it, it's like, hey, man, it's time to give Jared. Okay, cool. We've rotated these guys. Let's give Jared a shot. Okay, we can all understand that. Jared's been in the system. Jared's played center. Jared's played guard. It was in there in training camp. But, I mean, this is just one of those far reaches that Nick Caserio and the Patriot lineage always seems to bring to the table, and this one was laughable.
Yeah, it was. All right, sorry, I'm not. Real or fake? Coming up next.
Whew.
It's my favorite position to watch.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. Let's do a little real or fake. I say a statement. You tell me if it's real or fake. We'll start with you, Tyler Milner. There's still hope, real or fake. There's still hope that Davis Mills could still be a legitimate starter in the NFL.
Oh, Lord.
Real or fake. There is still hope that Davis Mills could be a legitimate starter in the NFL. Like, we've seen a lot of people have, you know, second chances and become starters. Most of them have been first-round draft picks. But we've seen a lot of it. Your thoughts after watching that?
Yeah, gonna make me go full Angels in the outfield here. It could happen.
It could.
It could happen, but no. This is fake. This is fake. I hope General Mills, if he has to go anymore for these Texans, if Stroud's still in concussion protocol, that he can get it done. And that was a hell of a way to win a game on Sunday for Mills and the Texans. But no, it's fake.
All right. It's fake. He looked a lot like Mac Jones. I'm just going to say, like Mac Jones level. And I think Mac Jones, off of this run with the 49ers, I think he may have a chance to pull a Daniel Jones or something with another team. Your thoughts, real or fake, Clint? There's still hope Davis Mills could be a legitimate starter in the NFL.
Yeah. Well, you put the Daniel Jones part in there, and I'm a fake if that's the case. If that's what we're talking about, now, do I think he could become a?
I'm just saying opportunity.
I'm thinking more along the lines of a Jacoby Brissett, a guy that later, long in the tooth, after getting a bunch of years in the league, can he be a guy that the bottom five teams in the league are like, yeah, we need a starter, man, come on. I think that
he worked himself into that potentially?
I don't think he has yet, but would I step out on a limb and say it could potentially happen? Yeah, I could see that.
Because I think people are looking at Mac Jones and thinking maybe Mac could be in the Daniel Jones, the
I think Mac Jones is on a different level.
You think he's on a different level? Now, he was drafted in the first round, and he's had some success.
And that's a part of it.
Yeah.
He's been a Pro Bowler. I mean, of course, he came out of the New England system, so everybody kind of views that differently. Now he's in this new system, playing really well, and the media around him is, boy, they got a quarterback controversy in San Francisco. Davis isn't in that there, no. But could I see him, playing, getting a chance somewhere else? Or even like here, could I see CJ being hurt? Not right now, obviously he's not. But if CJ were to get hurt for an 8-game stretch, could I see Davis Mills play himself into where the Arizona Cardinals would say, oh, yeah, man, we'll take him for a year while we rebuild? The New York Jets, oh, we'll take him. We'll take him a year to rebuild. Yeah. I think he could.
Because I don't think he was that before this year. I think people thought
Davis is. Well, he's still not that. But I mean, he's got some work to do. Like, it's not going to happen if he doesn't touch the field again this year. That would never happen. He's going to be a backup here for as long as he can. But if he plays a 6-8 game stretch at some point and plays well, yeah. I mean, look, the Justin Fields thing is wild. I mean, they paid that cat $20 million a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that commitment is wild right there. So that, but you get what I'm talking about. Like, if the Dolphins fire Mike McDaniel and part ways with Tua, Could you see?
I
think he could.
I mean, on purpose, someone's saying, we want to bring you in. I guess Tyrod Taylor, that happened with him. Here.
There you go.
On purpose, someone bringing him in. But I do. But I think he had a level of performance to go along with some other moments when he has been a starter. Because we had to remember, he has been a starter. Like, the Texans did have him as a starter, and he had some moments. I would not be surprised. Now, I'm gonna say fake, too. But I would not be surprised if his performance on Sunday, combined with other, you know, his years and other moments, he had a really good game against the Patriots once. He had a really good game against the Chargers when he was a starter. I wouldn't be surprised if that was like, is he more than a backup? Maybe not a star or anything, but is he somebody that's more than a backup? Because I mean Davis Mills, I bet you Davis Mills is, AJ could argue, hey man, I ain't that far off from Justin Fields.
Yeah.
You know, and he's gotten two back to back years, he's got opportunities. Now Justin Fields is a top 10 pick. Also, that has something to do with it. But if he got some more extended time, like he may play on Sunday and he plays really well, because he made some throws last week where you're like, on Sunday, you're like, how consistent can that be?
Yep. Yeah. Could he be a super cheap option for a team, a bottom five team? Hell, do for them what he did here in Houston with for the first 2 years of his career.
Yeah, text line said fake. Yeah,
I don't think it's crazy.
Tyler, stop trying to edge in on Tyler's trying to type in on the segment his own realer fakes and trying to stomp me up.
I was trying to help.
Trying to help. That just appeared. I swear that just appeared. All right, Clint, real or fake, Jonathan Taylor should be right now the league MVP.
I mean, who else is out there?
I mean, generally, you know, this thing runs to quarterbacks. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, okay, but who is that right now? I mean, his quarterback?
Which is part reason why I think he should be in the conversation.
Sam Darnold's got to be in the conversation.
Sam Darnold's in this. Matt Stafford has had a hell of a year. Mahomes was in it. Josh Allen before. I mean, even with his last week, he wasn't that bad. I mean, all of those quarterbacks. It's been the last non-quarterback was Adrian Peterson. And a while back. You brought up Daniel Jones. He is making he is damn near having a part in Daniel Jones being an MVP candidate with what he's doing.
Yeah. The league MVP, I'm going to say fake. In the conversation right now, yes, but he's got to flirt with single season records to be that. And his team has to be really good, which they are. Which he might, by the way.
I'm going to say real, because a lot of people look back at Saquon last year. But Saquon, which you could argue should have won it, but he also had Lamar and Josh having like bona fide quarterback MVP level seasons.
Yeah.
Like both. I don't know if there's a quarterback that's playing to that level. Right. Now maybe Taylor's in the same range as Saquon from last year, but I don't know a quarterback. Like Mahomes was maybe pushing that. Then he had that bad game against Buffalo. Josh, after the Kansas City game, all right. Then he kind of had a dud against the Dolphins. And I wonder how many people want to believe in Daniel Jones to have him as the league MVP. Stafford's probably the closest thing to it, but he's had some funky games too. There's not a dominant quarterback right now. There have been times where, there's been a 2,000-yard rusher. How did they win MVP? Well, Aaron Rodgers had like 48 touchdowns and four. You know what I'm saying? That stopped him. So the more that we don't have a dominant quarterback, I think the better chances that this gets real. Because the biggest thing for me is he is making and helping Daniel Jones look like an MVP candidate again. I mean, he is helpful in that. 240, whatever he got, insane. All right, Tyler, real or fake, Marcell Reed should be the Heisman front runner, real or fake?
As much as it pains me to say right now, that is fake.
Really?
He is a candidate, no doubt. He's up there, but
who's the front runner then? It's Marcell Reese. You're wrong. I got it as real.
I mean, I'd be good with it.
Personally, for me, it's hard to say best. I don't know. I think A&M has had the most impressive season of anybody up to this point. To me, and
gotta sit down.
Like in their biggest games, he has been the dude. Like the kid from Ohio State. I mean, he's been good, but against Texas, he wasn't great, right? And other guys. So to me, I think he should be a front runner, especially when you look at what he's done and what his teams have done and what he's done in their biggest games.
9-0, man.
He is right there in the mix. The kid at Indiana is going to get a lot of run.
That's what I was trying to think of.
That kid's going to get a lot of run. And,
Mendoza.
Yeah,
I know Gus said just give it to him, but I don't know, man.
Yeah, well, I'm not just give it to him. I'm not there, but
could have been his Heisman moment this past week. That 2 minute drive at the end with that amazing catch.
Yeah. No, that was a moment, but I mean, and that's one we'll remember. But I don't know, man. Marcell Reed has just been
wowing
every one of them, and especially every one of their big games. And I think he is playing on what up to this point has been the most impressive team.
I agree. The kid out of Vanderbilt's gonna put up a good case.
Is it now they're just bucking up against some of these losses now, with Vandy and I don't know. I think to me, I put a lot of stock in. All right, how you're playing in your big games, how you played overall, and then sure. Your team success.
Egg them.
I think it's a 2-horse race right now. It's him and the kid out of Indiana.
Was it Mendoza?
I would say fake right now. I'd probably go with the kid from Indiana is where I'd go.
Yeah.
But it is a tight race.
It's been what I'm saying. Saying from Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
It has been quarterbacks. But I don't know. We'll see. All right, what you got coming up in the fourth?
Tape drop Tuesday, baby. This is the best tape I've watched in a long time, y'all. This one got me good and turned on. And you ain't going to miss this. We got some evaluations, some observations. You take and do with them what you will, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Now, we'll do that next right here on Sports Radio 610.